T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, and we go right to the guest line where Adam Schefter from ESPN is awaiting to chat with us about the NFL trade deadline. Schefter is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and by Jeanne d'Arc Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912. Stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org. Adam Schefter, how are we doing this week?
Hello, how are we doing, guys?
Good. I'm guessing we're not quite as busy as you. Feels like it could be a busy trade deadline, and the Patriots got going yesterday. I know you had sort of predicted the Kyle Duggar deal. They get rid of Keon White. Those two deals, were they both guys that they were just simply looking to unload?
Yep. I think, look at the return, what they got back, and you could see the return on the investment. I think at that point in time, you're looking to clear out the roster spot, the money, whatever they can to move on from the particular player that they obviously were done with. I mean, you're not getting back a whole lot of compensation. The compensation is the flexibility that provides you to go add other players to your roster, and that's what they can do now. But they've been talking about a Keon White trade for weeks. They've been open to moving Duggar for weeks, maybe months. And so here they are. They finally, a week before the deadline, are able to make the trade to move along both guys.
Okay, Adam, I'm going to ask you a two-part question, and the answer to your first one will go quick, and that's basically Myles Garrett. Go ahead. You can pull cold water over him getting traded to the Patriots. Everybody here is all worked up about that. I heard your report on that. And then also just who do you think is a viable maybe candidate to be traded? You hear the Saints receivers are out there, maybe Breece Hall for the Jets. Jacoby Myers from the Raiders, but Myles Garrett, any chance he comes here? And then if not, what are some of the maybe other options that the Patriots could be looking at as far as trade partners?
Well, I will pass along the exact quotes that somebody told me in relation to Myles Garrett being traded today. They texted me, quote unquote, no chance. And then they texted me again saying, people have a better chance of winning the lottery.
Ah.
So take that for what it's worth, but yep, that would be somebody that would absolutely know. And Myles Garrett is not getting traded by the deadline on Tuesday. As for some of the other ones, Rashid Shaheed, yeah, I could see him being traded before the deadline. The Raiders are listening on Jacoby Myers. Doesn't mean no deal. They recognize he's a good player, and they're prepared to hold him if they don't get the value that they want in return. I still think that they'll be one of the Dolphins' pass rushers who's traded before the trade deadline, whether that's Bradley Chubb or Jalen Phillips, but I don't know that the Dolphins would be willing to trade in the division unless it was, you know, a real strong price. You know, I'm sure there'll be other moves. That every year there seems to be one little curveball that you're not expecting. We just got a trade just now, literally 5 minutes ago. The New England Patriots or the Philadelphia Eagles traded John Metchie to the Jets for Michael Carter, the nickelback essentially. So there's another trade. And there we go.
Speaking of Philadelphia wide receivers, everything I've heard, Adam, is that the Eagles are adamant that they're not going to trade A.J. Brown. But for some reason, there's been a lot of chatter, regardless of that huge the dead money that the Eagles would have to eat, that perhaps he could get moved. Have you heard any buzz or any chatter going one way or the other in the last couple of days?
Yeah, he's not going to get moved. I mean, just not going to happen before the trade deadline. I'm amazed at how much speculation it has generated, how much conversation has come out of this. You know, again, I'll always say that you never know with the NFL. Anything always could happen, but for them to move him now would be really, really surprising. It's not something they're planning. It's not something I'm expecting. You know, again, what do you think the price would be if they traded A.J. Brown today? Just give me a random guess at draft compensation. What do you think the number is? I don't care what you tell me, but what do you think
it is? I'd say a second and a fourth.
Okay. So let's just say it's a second and a fourth. Why would the Patriots, or the I keep listening to the Patriots, why would the Eagles trade him now for two and a four, when they could have him for the rest of the season as they try to defend their Super Bowl title, and then trade him in the offseason for at least that, maybe more, when there will be more teams interested, more teams with the ability to have that cap space. Like, in my mind, it makes no sense for them to trade him, and I don't expect him to be traded. I just do not expect that. Now, I guess I was a little bit stronger on Myles Garrett because, as I always say with this stuff, basically not everybody is for sale, but everybody has a price. So, you know, if some team's going to step up and go crazy, could that happen? Sure. But I'm not expecting that in any way, shape, or form. The Eagles aren't looking to do that. So, but no, I'm not expecting A.J. Brown to be traded by the deadline.
Time now to get this week's Drake Take from Adam Schefter, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And it's going to be a trade-related Drake Take, Adam. If you were the general manager of the Patriots, if you were Elliot Wolf or the brain trust down there, Ryan Cowden, and you were looking to support Drake May, and you know what's available out there based on everything you've heard, tackles, receivers, running backs, what do you think the Patriots could or should do to support Drake May this season?
I think it should be a slow, steady build. There should be nothing that they do that they're overpaying for. Drake May is going to be in New England a long time. He is going to be on his rookie contract for two more years after this year. They need to make decisions that they would make as if Drake May were there, weren't there. Like, just keep building the roster. Keep building around him. Don't force the issue. If there's something that makes sense and there's some value in a trade, then go do it. And if there's not, don't force something because you feel like, boy, we're in a better spot than we expected to be, and we need to get this guy. Like, he's got wide receivers. They could use a little bit more depth at running back. I saw they signed D'Ernest Johnson today. They could use, you know, a little bit more help on the offensive line, who couldn't at this point in time. But there's nothing that you say, boy, they really need to, I mean, another tight end would be good. There's a lot of things that they need, but every team has needs. But to me, I'm not forcing anything. I'm making calls. I'm asking around. And if there's a good value trade for somebody, then I'm open to making it anywhere on the offense.
Okay, Adam, I'm going to give you another two-parter real quick. You talked to, you know, a lot of guys that played the quarterback position, Orlovsky, you know, in particular. I'm just curious what, you know, they think of Drake May. And then also, you know, Drake May being an MVP candidate, it feels like at this point, at least he's high in the odds. Like, what does he need to do to kind of, you know, win that award? So just basically, what are guys saying that your colleagues about Drake May at this point? And is he a viable MVP candidate? And what does he have to do to get that?
Yeah. Well, what I would say is that, yeah, he has impressed everybody. You heard today Zach Robinson, the Falcons offensive coordinator, say that he believes that Drake May is a younger Josh Allen. We were talking at GetUp on Monday about if they did last year's draft today, would Drake May be the first quarterback off the board? And the answer was very possibly yes. Very possibly yes. Candidate, just keep winning games. Just keep playing the way you are.
Yep.
Just keep doing what you're doing. And inevitably, if and when they're winning games, then he's going to have a chance to win the MVP.
And Adam, if there was going to be one team that came out of nowhere and was the most active at the trading deadline, could you perhaps offer a team that came out of the woods, the woodwork, the weeds out of nowhere?
Yeah, well, I don't think the Patriots are done. You know, I just don't. I think they'll be making calls. Doesn't mean they get something done, but I think they'll be looking to try to get something done. Yeah, look, the Eagles just made another trade. The Eagles are always busy. The Dolphins, I think, like I said, will trade one of those guys. I think the Saints will move on. You know, those are some of the teams, but, you know, it should be a fairly busy 5-6 days here coming up.
All right, Adam, appreciate you joining us. I know you're busy over the next 5 or 6 days or so. And if you want to drop us any dimes, you hear anything, feel free to check back in. If not, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Adam.
I look forward to talking next Wednesday post-deadline. I really do.
Sounds awesome, good, man. Adam. Talk to you then. See you.
Thanks, man.
Adam Schefter, ESPN.
Was he being sarcastic? I couldn't tell.
No, I think he was legit looking. Not about us. I think he was legit. My guess is this is a pain in the ass. His phone vibrates a lot and rumors.
But I also think this is kind of where his time to shine, too.
Absolutely.
So he probably loves it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love when he's definitive about Myles Garrett or about A.J. Brown. He's clearly frustrated. So I read Mike Florio, and I hear Mike Florio kind of fluffing up this idea that A.J. Brown's going to be available. Mm-hmm. And then Schefter's like, you're just creating more questions for me when there's no chance or whatever, that whole idea.
Yeah.
I think he gets annoyed at sort of
some
playing
of the people
radio.
That put out, so
muck-raking.
The so-called experts. Well, I love, but the guys that have the real inside scoop, but if you ever disagree with them, they are like...
Well,
I know you don't kind of thing.
The famous one around here, and it popped up on the text line throughout the interview, was when he famously said the Patriots aren't trading Jimmy Garoppolo for 4 first-round picks.
Yeah.
And then they traded him for a second-round pick.
Yeah.
So we need to react, though, because he had some pretty definitive, interesting things to say. I also thought it was interesting when he sort of listed the needs of the Patriots, and he realized, really, they could use all these things. He's going down the line from running back to tight end to offensive line. So we'll react to our Adam Schefter interview next, his thoughts on what the Patriots could, should, and will do at the NFL trade deadline here on WEEI.
There on Get Up, it was Graziano, Foxworth, there was a McCourty there.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Saturday just body bagged all of them. Like, I really don't think right now it's a debate. And that is not disrespect to Jaden Daniels. He'd go number two in the draft. He's still really good.
Yeah.
I'd love to start my franchise with Jaden Daniels, but May is younger. May's ceiling is higher. Jaden Daniels has been more injury prone. He did go to an NFC title game last year, but when Drake May is locked in like he is right now, and admittedly he hasn't played the toughest schedule, who'd the Commanders play last year? Like, they had an easy schedule last year.
Only the 2000 Ravens.
Until they got to
the
postseason, which we didn't know he was going to do right around week nine of the NFL last year. I look at it and I say, Drake May, when he's locked in, is having a season like Brady in 07. He's having a season like Mahomes when he won the MVP in 18. Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, that's who he looks like. And as good as Jaden Daniels was, he's 2-3 this year when he's played.
Yeah.
He's missed games due to injury, which a bunch of nanas are worried about with Drake May. He's never missed a game. He's never missed a start with an injury. He had to leave one and then returned the next week and didn't miss a start. I think it's Drake May, and I really don't even think it's a debate. If I have the number one pick, I don't think much about it. It's Drake May, I hand the ticket in, and then the team behind me could take Jaden Daniels.
I also think this 7-game stretch that Drake May is on is better than any 7-game stretch from Daniels from last year. And Daniels was awesome.
He's great.
But one, you know, everybody's talking about the stat that he has a lot of crazy stats compared to Tom Brady, Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers, whatever else. But the one about, you know, the 100 quarterback rating or better, and it's been 7 straight games. Jaden Daniels never had 3 straight games of 100 quarterback rating.
You said this earlier.
6 total times last year. Now, his
6 total as a rookie, May has 7 in a row.
Right. His season average at the end of the year was like exactly 100 for Daniels. He had an awesome year, and that's what's weird. Like, you get into these debates, and it almost makes it sound like you think the other player stinks. Nobody thinks he stinks. It was just he was, after 1 year, the clear-cut best quarterback of that class. He was the rookie of the year, so there's that. And he had the team success, too. He got to the NFC Championship game. But what Drake May has done this year, sprinkled in with Daniels getting hurt, that's fine. But he hasn't been out there the whole time. He has a losing record in the games that he has played. I think if you're living in the now, and I'm not ignoring what Daniels did as a rookie, but I'm just putting a little bit more emphasis on this half season that we've seen. So I don't think it's a shock at all. I'm surprised Saturday was the only one on that set that would even say that. But Drake May is the better quarterback right now.
So I agree. And again, if you're talking about a redraft, that's what they were talking about. Go back to 2024 and redraft it. May's younger.
Yep.
We know the ceiling's higher. I mean, it just is. Jaden Daniels is really good. But somebody's got to go one. I mean, to me, that's Drake May, and I really don't even think it should be a debate.
Who goes three?
Good question.
Might mean not even a quarterback.
Yeah.
I always heard, but like Malik Nabers?
Yeah, maybe, actually.
Maybe somebody like that.
I like Nabers a lot.
I mean, Joe Alt was in that draft.
Oh, maybe.
Roma Dunze.
He's been hurt.
Oh, Brock Bowers? Also been hurt a ton this year, but Bowers' rookie year was insane.
I'd probably take a lot of those guys over Nix, who
the other quarterbacks.
Would Nix be the third guy, the third quarterback, rather?
Yeah, Nix has to be ahead of Caleb Williams right now, and they're both ahead of McCarthy and Penis Jr., right. I would think.
So you would take Nix ahead of Caleb in a redraft.
Right now.
Because that's a long fall for Caleb for you.
It is, but I'm also higher on Nix than most. So
True.
It's like it's not that much of a fall in a rock, because I like Nix more than most. I also did like Caleb Williams more than most. I was with the Bears. I thought he was the best quarterback coming out, and now it looks like at best you could make a case for three, but probably more likely four.
617-779-7937. If you want to discuss this, you can. We have a Kiefer Madness for you coming up at 12:45. Mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of people were sending you this, correct?
Yeah, multiple people sent me this story,
okay,
so we'll go with it.
Well, we'll get to this coming up about 10 minutes from now. Meanwhile, a couple of texts on our 60-second plans for the perfect Halloween night. This one, another big win for Keith. I agree. The
wagon beers.
Even Ken ran down the hallway asking you about wagon etiquette.
Yeah, like just fill it up with beers.
Keith, wag expert and wagon expert.
Pretty good.
Yeah, real good.
Two specialties that I have.
What a good idea. Yeah. Also this, which I guess is sort of my side of the street. Perfect Halloween night. Shut off the light, go out to eat, return around 10.
What is the bah humbug of Halloween? That. What's wrong? Get a little candy. See the kids showing up.
That's probably not a bad night, though, Keith.
You can see a ton of K-pop demon hunters showing up to your house. You give them a few candies.
So many.
What's wrong with that?
So many huntresses and Saja boys. Get ready for a lot of that tomorrow night.
I feel like if the light's off, you also run the risk of what we talked about yesterday.
Getting TP'd.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't want
that. Leave the bowl outside and you won't get egged or TP'd.
Oh, leave the bowl outside, until one kid takes it all, and then you still get egged.
One kid dumps the bowl in his bag,
home, so
runs
like,
off, and then everybody else goes, well, these cheapskates. Eggs.
Yeah.
TP.
Or you do the thing
really
where...
really scare the kid when you chase him down the street when he takes all the candy.
Yeah, or you do the thing where you leave the bowl, but then you hide behind like a bush, and then you jump out.
It scares the snot out of
like
kids.
With like a chainsaw.
Yeah. Nice. All right, let me order one of those.
I'm not about to kill myself for a Skittle.
Order one of those on Amazon real quick. John is in Rhode Island. He'd like to go on the clock.
All right, he's got a 30-second take.
All right, John, you're on the clock. What's your plan?
All right, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I went to Salem the other day, and I saw the Hocus Pocus house. The perfect plan is to come to my house. I live near the Conjuring house. We have a huge block party. They give out candy for the kids, but for the adults, they give out steak tips, sliders, mixed drinks, Jello shots. You take the wagon. The kids get the candy. You get the steak. You get the chicken sliders. You get the drinks. You come home. You have a great night. You pass out. The kids pass out.
Wow.
Let me tell you. Kind of nailed that. Conjuring House trick-or-treating party. Holy mackerel.
He even got a chance to brag right there.
Good brag.
I went to the Hocus Pocus house in Salem. So you got to brag out of the way real quick.
Hocus Pocus. He's hitting all the spots in New England.
He was on time.
Yep.
Yeah, with like a second or two to spare.
Yeah.
Great. And that does sound like
steak
a
tips.
That's a steak tips.
Yeah. There was a guy bragging.
Now, they might be haunted steak tips because it's right by the Conjuring house, he said.
I know. It is weird, though, when you're like, you're stuffing your mouth full of candy, then it's like, oh, let me get like a steak tips and a burger. I don't know.
Well, it's chicken slider.
Chicken slider.
But
that sounds good, too.
You need a good base
mixed
in there.
Drinks.
You need a base in there for all your small beers and your candy.
What do they got, you think? Like a jungle juice?
I don't know.
Something a little. Or they do the stuff where you can like dye it different colors. You can make like a spooky drink.
Yeah. Like the Sanderson sisters, yeah. Their cauldron. Yeah, something like
it's
that.
It's just
yeah,
Ecto you can, Cooler. You can, is this more Ecto Cooler? Is there anything that. In this? No. It's just we dumped it out of the box. It's Ecto Cooler. All right.
You can make that happen for sure. 617-779-7937. Ooh, text line is saying the Hocus Pocus house is actually Marblehead.
Oh, boy.
Controversy.
I thought it was in Salem. I thought the whole movie was filmed in Salem.
Well, it was set in Salem. The film claimed to be set in Salem anyway. I don't know where they actually filmed. Where did they film on location?
It's in Salem. The Hocus Pocus house you're likely referring to, according to Google AI, Max and Danny's house, a private residence located at blah 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 Avenue in Salem, Mass.
Perhaps right on the line. Maybe that's the key.
Yes, I don't know.
Or maybe that's Bill Chisholm texting him with all of his North Shore expertise.
I too am from the North Shore. Okay.
Real quick, can I hear Orlovsky on Drake May? They were having an MVP discussion this morning. I think this is also Get Up.
All right.
Here's Dan Orlovsky.
Jonathan's having an outstanding season.
I'm sorry. He's talking
Jonathan
about
Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Is what he's talking about there.
He's nasty.
Yeah.
Jonathan's having an outstanding season. There's nothing that I can say in a negative fashion about him. The MVP of the NFL right now is Drake May. When it comes to the value that you are providing, giving just back to last year, given what's around you.
What a take.
Okay, so Drake May.
Is it?
One, Steph's coming off an ACL. So, two, Kayshawn Booty's their number two receiver. He wasn't this highly drafted wide receiver.
True.
He's got two tight ends that are certainly longer in their careers than they are younger. Nice. Drake May's playing quarterback just about as good as anybody. With the least amount of help around him. Mm. When it comes to just talent, that's not a knock on those catches. Keeping it real.
Mm. Mm. So he's propping him up by tearing everybody else down.
Sounds that way.
Which is an odd take.
Orlovsky then later,
I would think,
later yeah, on today, he went on First Take and rated his top five quarterbacks who are playing the best. So that's not like I'd still take Patrick Mahomes over Drake May. Like he just said on Get Up, Orlovsky says, May is the MVP. Love Jonathan Taylor. No disrespect to him.
No.
I'm going to disrespect the whole Patriots roster, but Drake May is my MVP.
So what is he saying now?
But then he gave up his top five quarterbacks who are playing the best through week eight, and he has Mahomes 1 and May 2. Classic Orlovsky.
So would Mahomes be the MVP?
One would think.
Because you can make the same case.
He's playing the best through 8 weeks.
Mahomes has only had Rice for 2 games.
Yeah.
And if anything, Josh Allen.
Tyquan Thornton and the empty husk of Kareem Hunt.
Josh Allen has worse receivers and tight ends. He has a far better running back, but he has worse of those two.
Allen's not in his top five.
See,
Mahomes, May, Indiana Jones, Stafford, who you hate, and Baker Mayfield, who you also hate.
I love one of those guys. I hate the other one.
Stafford and Baker.
Because that Kelly Stafford's too political. No, but I feel like Drake May, main takeaway for him wouldn't be his teammates stink. Like, I think he's playing great. He is bringing the level up, but he's like, guys, Kayshawn Booty was a late pick and Steph Diggs had an ACL injury. I'm like, okay.
I'm also
but
surprised.
What about Drake May's like overall performance? Forget
about
that.
I'm also surprised that Greenberg and the rest of the set being like, whoa!
Drake May!
Drake May?
See, that's the... that's the tough part about like the...
Hot take!
Some of the national shows that probably just watch Red Zone. You know, like they don't really see every game.
You don't need to see. He's third in the MVP odds.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it right now. He's plus 500.
It
is weird. 125. Allen's 350. May's 500. He's third. Like, why? How is that a?
And
that's
I would
not like
even,
a crazy take. He's third.
And I would even say the Allen being second is more to do with like he won it last year.
Yeah, his career than how he's played.
And you almost expect 8 more great games from him. And you're like, you don't want if you're Vegas, you don't want to get burned by it. So that doesn't even mean he's playing the second best. It's just they have him as the second best odds. The fact that Drake May has the third best odds, like he's clearly on everybody's radar for MVP.
MVP?
Ah,
third best odds?
Zoinks!
Okay. But Orlovsky, just when you want to say, wow, he's got Drake for the MVP.
He does not.
He wanted to sit him for 2 years,
couldn't pay me enough to play him, he said.
Then he had him as the MVP for like 5 minutes, and then he comes on First Take, and he's like, but Mahomes is playing the best. So I can never keep
my head is spinning.
I can never keep his take straight. 617-779-7937. We got all your feedback there. And on the way next, the return of the madness, Kieferman.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game.
They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Halloween. And Wiggy, if you're not able to watch a show on Twitch or on YouTube, Wiggy is dressed as the President of the United States. And for some, the derangement is real. I will just remind you, it's a costume. It is Halloween. It is oftentimes when somebody does something like this, it is a parody. I hate to break it to you, but don't lose your mind over it. It's one morning, and it'll be over soon. Yes, Curtis?
So just for those people, I have a question.
Yes.
When Michael Myers shows up at your door, who bears a striking resemblance to the president in the studio, do you get offended that a murderer is there?
People get offended by everything.
But, so my question is, if somebody's an axe murderer, that's their costume. Do you then, allowing them to get candy, is that a tacit endorsement of axe murderers? It's, or is it just somebody dressed in a costume?
It really, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but it really makes me sad because it's such a commentary on the awful place that we find ourselves in this country, where the guy is dressed in a costume having a lot of fun this morning, and you got 508 texter who says Wiggy is such a fraud. Year after year he criticizes everybody's costume as being lame with no effort, and then today all he does is wear a mask of the president, and everybody is celebrating. Like, yes. No,
he's actually wearing a full suit.
He's got the full suit. He's got the ear bandage on. I mean,
I am a survivor. Technically, Michael Myers was never convicted, so we can't call him a murderer.
Oh, pardon?
He's not in our right in America to pass judgment.
What about Freddy Krueger? Would you give him a pardon?
Freddy is another one.
I think Michael Myers was convicted.
No,
he was in
never
jail.
Convicted. No. He was in an insane asylum.
Oh.
Yes, never convicted, though.
Okay.
But, you know, we are in a country that I, as the president, like to say, because they tried to do it with me, you are innocent until proven guilty. Remember, they tried to put me behind bars, guilty until I prove myself innocent. So let's not jump to conclusions just yet of Michael Myers until we actually get enough evidence and we can arrest him and he can have due process and we can put it through our great judicial system that we have here in this great country.
No, people get mad about any Halloween costume.
You should
these
not
days.
Get mad. Halloween is a beautiful, beautiful day.
You love it. It's your favorite day of the year.
Well, I don't know why you'd get mad at Halloween. It's free candy. Who gets mad about free candy? Please, somebody explain that one to me.
Can we call that 508? I would love to talk to that person.
Call an angry texter, which we used to do on the old show.
Yes, because I don't understand. I'd say, it's free candy. Why are you mad? Could be worse. You can live in another country. where they don't even have candy. Forget about it being free. They don't even have candy. Certain countries I've been to, I said, oh, my God, I cannot get a Twix. What is this?
Is that your favorite candy?
It's one of them. But I do it like my boy, a good friend of mine, George Costanza. I use a fork and a knife because I do not want to get chocolate on my fingers.
Fair.
Because I always like to wear white shirts, and then next thing you know, I got chocolate stains on the shirt.
Uh-oh.
And they say, look at the president.
Right.
This is Eddie in the car. Eddie, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you? Listen, Wiggy, love the outfit. Let me tell you, I can't stand Trump, but for years, everybody has been getting dressed up as the president. They've been making these masks for years, so the people need to stop whining about it. And just accept it. It's life. There's nothing wrong with it. You go out there one day a year, and you can pretend whoever you want to be. We all know the person behind that mask is not the person in real life. My God.
It's nuts. I'm telling you, and I avoid talking about it because I'm so sick of it, but it's 508 text. Just to break it to you, Greg, the president is a natural disgrace. They're saying he's right here, by the way.
Yes. What is wrong? I would like to know because
the fact that you're allowing this voice on your show, it's your responsibility to keep it fair.
It's very fair. I'm not a Trump person. I hate Trump.
I love Wiggy. Right here.
And I love it.
If Trump
is a friend of Wiggy, then even though I don't agree with him, then I'll be a friend of Trump right now.
I mean, it's like Kool-Aid. Not everybody likes Kool-Aid, but we shouldn't. Hate Kool-Aid.
No, you're
you just say, I don't drink it.
Right, that's the way you're right about that.
Wow,
Mr.
perfectly
President.
Stated.
You're right. Hey,
that's the way it is. It's Kool-Aid. Some people don't put sugar in it.
Yeah.
Or sweet tea.
Now,
how can you like sweet tea with no sugar?
This is a little alarming, this threat from a 508 texter.
Uh-oh.
Tad bit behind, I think, when it comes to technology, but they say when they get their Nielsen ratings form in the mail, they will be clicking on another radio station because Wiggy is dressed as the president.
But see,
Halloween.
It's very hard to click on a letter there,
it's,
Chief.
It's not mail anymore. It's been updated, the technology, but thanks.
I am the apprentice, Donald Trump.
You're the apprentice?
Yes. So everybody loved him. You know,
right.
Everybody loved him. His two famous words, or I should say my two famous words, yes. You're fired.
You're fired.
Everybody loved him.
Those.
I mean, think about what I did for Omarosa.
Omarosa!
Wow, what a throwback.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, I just, you know, I feel like I did a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, don't get mad.
Get even.
Turn that frown upside down.
Your mask has now, or I'm sorry, your face has now turned into kind of like a Joker version because there is little like slants on the side for the smile.
No, those are tears for people saying they hate me. It's very, you know,
yeah.
I normally don't cry, but when that's somebody good. Says they hate me, I tend to say that's not a good word.
All right. Well, it's Halloween. It's also Patriots Friday. And joining us now, it is Patriots linebacker Robert Spillane, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded by Windward Mental Health. Start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com, by findmassmoney.gov, and by Service Credit Union. And through their Protecting Our Communities campaign, they are shining a light on the staffing crisis facing Massachusetts first responders. Ask your leaders to support those who keep us safe. Robert, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's going good. It is, of course, Halloween. And we
Happy
got
Halloween.
We got to see Mac Hollins, who's like Wiggy. Our guy Wiggy here loves Halloween. Mac Hollins obviously dressed up last week. I don't know if you did. Did you put a costume on at all this week?
I did with my two younger daughters, and we had a little event at the stadium that I took them to trick-or-treat.
What did you dress
as? We all dressed up as the Sesame Street, but I did bring a Michael Myers mask into the facility today, hoping to get a few jump scares.
Excellent.
Yes, and I heard him. I have the honor of speaking with the president this morning.
Yes, you did.
Yes, that is correct,
yes,
Robert.
Yes.
I have to say, it is a powerful name, Spillane. There's greatness that comes with that name. I've watched you play many a times. Unbelievable middle linebacker. what we like to say, tackling machine.
So it's a true honor. I appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah. Keep doing your thing.
That's one way to describe it.
Yep.
His thing. Also, on the costume, can we just get this out of the way on the costume thing? Our guy, Shime, is very into Pokemon, and Drake May was dressed as a Pokemon character. Is Drake a Pokemon fanatic?
That's a good question. I'll have to ask him that today. I honestly don't know the truth. I could see him being, you know, he's young, so he kind of missed the true Pokemon era.
Right.
Which is more my age, but, you know, I think kids all ages like Pokemon now.
Okay.
Robert, speaking of Drake, you talked this week about how even the defense is getting motivated by his play on the field. To see such a young guy week after week command a team like he does, how rare is that? And can you explain a little bit deeper about how that motivates your defense?
Yes, Drake comes in every day with a smile on his face, with energy, with focus, with a willingness to want to get better. And him being the quarterback of our team, he has that expectation, but he's only gone above and beyond expectations and getting to know his teammates, encouraging the defensive side of the ball when we go take the field to get the ball back for me, guys. We're going to go score as soon as you get the ball back. So he's just been a leader since day one, and I'm happy to see how he continues to grow.
Robert, a question, if you don't mind, from the President of the United States right now.
Robert, this is a real question here. What do you have to do to defend Bijan Robinson? Tremendous, tremendous athlete down there in Atlanta. What are some of the things that you got to make sure you're doing as a defense to slow him down?
Truly a tremendous player, a guy who could do it all with the ball in his hands. You have to have 11 eyes on him every single play. We're going to identify where he's aligned, when he goes in motion, when he has the ball in his hands. We need to build a wall, have great edges to our defense, and then swarm to the tackle. He breaks tackles each and every week. So expect that when you run into the ball. Expect that he's going to come free, and you're going to be the one to bring him down. So we have 11 guys with that mentality, and the swarm will get to him eventually.
Robert, I'm just curious about you come here in the offseason, you join the team sort of on a wish and a prayer that this was going to turn around after two consecutive 4-13 seasons. When did you start to feel like this kind of play could be produced by this Patriots team?
Yeah, I believed in this team coming into the season in OTAs early on. I wouldn't have came out here if I didn't believe in this team. I'm also a player that has a little bit of delusion going into every season. Yeah, I've had two previous bad seasons where I think we were 8-9 and 4-13 or whatever it was. But even in those seasons, I thought we were going to be 17-0 and go on to win the Super Bowl. So, I have belief. Maybe it's unwavering belief in the teams that I've played on. So I'm just going to continue to believe that we have what it takes.
Robert, the uncertainty of Michael Penix Jr. this week, what has that done for you guys as you prepare for the Falcons?
Very little in terms of our preparation. We're going to continue to focus on the things that we can control, how we can prepare, the focus that we have, not only on the practice field, but in meetings and how we approach the day. So I'm really proud of our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday preparation, Thursday. Now we got to go out there today and get it on Friday, situational football. Make sure everything's clean to go, ready to go, red zone today. So we really got to screw in, lock in on those situations.
Robert, we talked about...
This is Wiggy, not the president.
Yeah.
I got Wiggy.
And by the way, a missed opportunity, Mr. President. Robert was talking about building a wall, and you didn't jump in.
Right, exactly. And also, I would say...
No political talk on here. This is a sports show. I don't know if you know that.
Thank you, sir.
I would say if you didn't already have Pete Hegseth Robert Spillane would make a great Secretary of Defense.
Ooh.
Secretary of War.
Oh, shoot. Sorry.
I just love the name.
Yeah.
But when we've been talking about culture and Vrabel and creating that culture and buying into that culture, give me something specific that Vrabel has done that you can see that has kind of translated into that culture.
It's an expectation to be a good person. I think it's easier to state it simply rather than go through a lot of words. Be a good person. I think that is our culture. Make great decisions. Come in here with a smile. Be grateful for what you have. Take care of your family. And go out there and work tremendously hard with great focus and effort. And I think when you just summarize it like that, it's easy. There's an expectation. You know what you're expected of as a player. And now it's your job just to go out there and do it.
Awesome. Well, we are going to let you do that. I know you got to get to work. On Halloween, though, final one from me. We had a discussion about this yesterday because of the results here in Massachusetts. What is your absolute number one go-to candy?
Ooh, gummy bears. Now, I love anything gummy. Yeah, I used to be a big Reese's Snickers guy,
yeah.
But now it's anything. Twin Snakes gummies. They sell them at like random gas stations, but they're really good. Oh,
something changed because we all went from chocolate to the gummy sour.
Yeah. Wait, do you like the sour gummies or any gummies? It doesn't matter.
Both sour, non-sour. Yeah, all of them.
All right, Robert Splane, thank you on a Patriots Friday.
Thank you, guys.
Go get them. Good luck on Sunday.
Yep, we'll see it.
All right, there he is, Robert Splane. Twitch chat said we should call that segment Spillanin. What do you think about that, Curtis, for a catchy radio title?
I think it's great.
Okay.
You got some splaining to do.
Yeah. All right. We will be back with Courtney and today's news next.
WEI Afternoons, and we go right to the guest line for our buddy Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, who is brought to you on WEI Afternoons by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and Tom E. Curran is powered by Verizon. Tom, how we doing?
Tremendous. How are my guys today?
We're great. We're getting, I think, caught up in the pre-trade deadline fun of speculating what they might do, talking about what they've already done. Should I get ready for, let's steal a word from Celtics days past, is there any chance there are some fireworks from the Patriots by Tuesday?
I would imagine there'll be at least some you know, bag popping.
Yeah.
You know, like a sandwich bag. Back in the day, you probably did that. Or sat on a chip bag in the cafeteria.
Oh, yeah.
Kidding me?
Yeah, those were the days.
Yep.
Those are the days.
Yep.
I would have to imagine at least that. I mean, it's a team that has $50 million in cap space. So the options are kind of limitless. I mean, you can sign a player with designs on extending him, not even this year, but take on a big salary. And, you know, Trey Hendrickson, Jacoby Myers, those would be a couple of the players that I look at personally and say these would be really smart fits. I think also the Patriots moving players this week is also an indicator that they are in a position to try and figure out, okay, what's the landscape like? And they're cognizant of the fact that this is a drop-dead time to make moves and tweak your roster in a way that you think is going to help you. Whether Keon White was, in their minds, addition by subtraction, well, the same thing with Duggar because of his high salary. They're certainly cognizant of trying to continue to tweak the roster and aren't in a position where they're saying, hey, this is great. We're 6-2. Why play with anything?
Hey, Tom, I want to ask you, I know it feels like, you know, rainbows and lollipops for this team, but there are some areas of concern, and I've been hearing you talk about some of these over the week. You know, and I'm just curious what your biggest concern for this team is. Is it, you know, the running backs that are ranked 32nd in yards after contact? You got the Pats D ranked 31st in attempts over 20 yards. They're one of the worst tackling teams still, even though it's gotten better. They rank 32nd in average punt yards allowed. And then this specifically, you talked about the worst defense in the red zone and the worst Golden Gold defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
What, of those things, what is the most concerning for you?
I think Golden Gold offense and defense, specifically defense, because if your combined record of the teams that you're seeing is 20-40 and you're having a difficult time when they get inside the red zone, you're getting peppered, you just don't have a lot of success to look back on and say, okay, when teams get inside the 20, we know how to make sure they just get field goals and we turn them away. So that, and also the 28 sacks of Drake May and their sack rate of dropback, because in addition to the sacks, as you guys know, are plenty of Drake May scrambles that are mixed in when he said, it's getting a little hot in here, I'm heading out. So those are the ones that stand out. I don't think they're irreparable. But I think that red zone defense, to me, Ted, is a big one because, it's, you know, as Bill used to say, it's turnovers, it's red zone scoring, and, you know, to me, I've always thought third down was a big one, too. But I think, I don't know if those were his three big ones, but I've always looked at those as really huge team indicators.
Fitzy, real quick, if I just comment on that. The red zone and third down are these are my two favorite categories to kind of look at, and that was what Bill was very, very, you know, stressed the importance of that. In our 2001 defense, number one in red zone defense, we were the proverbial bend but don't break. So that is a very – that's a key stat. And if of all the kind of categories I listed out, that's my biggest concern as well is just, you know, if they get to the red zone, it's almost an automatic touchdown. So I sign off on that thought.
All right. See, now I have an expert in premature.
Yep, there you go.
Tom, last week we put you on the spot with our little game, which was name the five best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, and you dutifully responded rather quickly. Appreciate that. This week, let's see if you can get in on our latest little game, which is name the MVP of the first half of the team, not name Drake May.
Oh, good. I like that. We kind of did this. MVP of the first half, not named Drake May. I'm going to say Steph Diggs would be my first guy. But I'm like, when we did it, Phil and I named three because, you know, it's a work in progress. So I'm going to say Steph Diggs, Will Campbell, Robert Spillane, and I would either say Milton Williams or Christian Barmore coming in fourth. So I get to do a weighted vote, but that's what I got right now, and I feel terrible leaving my guy Kayshawn Booty out of it.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston here on WEEI Afternoons. If we're going to include Tom in all our little games, we played a game yesterday afternoon where we made an argument for the biggest need or the biggest trade target, Tom. So if you could only add a player at one position, and we're not really talking about a superstar, we're just talking about bolstering a position, what would your position target be?
Defensive end, edge, pass rush, somebody to help, you know, negate the amount of downfield completions. Make Christian Gonzalez fully the player that he ought to be. Cover up for those younger safeties who have played pretty well but are not, you know, in a position where you're like, oh, my God, everything's all set back there. So I would say that's where I would start. I would also, if I had a full wish list, I would say running back is a need. And then I would say it again because I'm a pain in the ass. I just don't think they have enough tight end depth. Those guys are longer in the tooth than you would like them to be, and they're very important to this offense. And you have two of them in Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry who it would really hurt to lose. So, to me, I still say tight end. I would definitely, if I were them, you know, Mercedes Lewis was available at 41.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. Clay Harbor.
Yeah.
Bring him in.
You know, Tom, if I remember correctly, you and I were, like, I think the biggest fans of Tyler Warren coming into the draft.
We were Tyler Warren buddies.
Yeah, that was it. So I feel you on that. And then just so you know, you left Kayshawn Booty out of your – but you put him on your most improved list as the player that was most improved this year. So at least you got him in on that. But let me ask you about the Kyle Duggar, Keon White trades. Is there – I mean, I find kind of some of them interesting, just at least the Kyle Duggar, the fact that they're willing to pay as much for a salary and not getting much in return. But what do you make of those trades? What do those trades tell you?
The Keon White one is more interesting than the Duggar one because they needed ends. They need edge guys. They need, I mean, literally bodies. You know that Keon White can stand up and rush the passer in the National Football League. He has done it. Now, is he breathtakingly effective in everything that Mike Vrabel wants to do? Seemingly not. But to me, he made sense in terms of a position where you're still going to be looking to fill coming at the trade deadline. So that one surprised me more. And, you know, I don't know. He wasn't happy generally. He was not a happy fella. Certainly wasn't with
That's one way to put it.
Definitely wasn't a happy fella with Mayo. Proclaimed that, you know, now it was all going to be much easier for him because they were going to get from him the player that he really was because he was getting coached. And at some point, maybe Vrabel heard that and said, you know, maybe they weren't a good coaching staff last year, but to put it all on the coaches, Keon, like they're the ones who hosed you. I don't know. I wonder how that went over. I wondered the whole time when Keon White said that, and it was supposed to be a compliment, but I wondered how a coach would react to a player talking about his previous coaching staff that way.
Tom, on the trade deadline, just curious if you happen to have heard or had any sources, little DM birdies alert you to the Patriots possibly either A, trading for a running back by next Tuesday, or B, possibly being in the veteran safety market.
They have been pretty locked down. And if you look at the national folks who are much more plugged in on where things are headed and honestly are better wholesale information brokers than we are, because that's basically how the operation works. GMs talk to the national guys because national guys talk to every freaking team. And then there's an information exchange. There's nothing concrete about the Patriots except for Diana Rossini, who I implicitly trust on all things Patriots more than anybody else, said that they will be very active. So I trust that they're going to be active, but to me, it's indeterminate what they're going to do at what position. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you're going to have nothing. It's clear right now to me, as somebody who's covering the team, there's a lot of dart throwing going on. Nobody knew White was going to go. Nobody knew Duggar was going to go. They're doing a good job shutting the hell up.
Yeah.
Tom, I feel like trade deadline's Tuesday. There's a game Sunday. I feel like I should at least sneak one question in at the end about what you think about this matchup with the Falcons. Does this game concern you at all? Because the Falcons have been very sort of helter-skelter, up and down. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, they're puzzling. They have tremendous physical talent on offense. Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, who's actually had a kind of a decent year. Penix does not like to throw down the middle of the field. I find him to be very deliberate and slow to decide on doing things. I wonder if the Patriots will try to turn up the heat on him. Meanwhile, the pass rush for the Falcons has been pretty good. And in a lot of different games, they've been able to accelerate things. Now, they're coming off losses of 20-10 and 34-6 to the Niners and the Dolphins, respectively. So it's a team that really, really, really desperately needs to get something done this week. A lot of attention has been placed on their offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson. He's getting absolutely annihilated down there. So this is as must-winny as you could be for a mediocre team. They're taking on water right now. So that makes it less predictable. And honestly, guys, we've talked about this. Talk about it one more time, Ted. The Patriots are not a good home team. They've beaten Carolina, and they won last week against Cleveland. So that makes them 2-2 because they lost to the Raiders and Steelers. I think this is an important game for them to continue to kind of pee on their territory and say, we don't lose here. We're a different team now when we're at Gillette.
Especially when we introduce our players individually. Go. They're 1-0, Tom Curran, when they do that.
Choosing to introduce themselves as individuals.
All right, Tom, enjoy the weekend and enjoy the trade deadline. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, guys. Take care.
See you, Tom.
See you, buddy.
Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston. Coming up next, we asked Tom E. Curran what his biggest target for the Patriots would be. He seems to agree with Ted Johnson, so I guess we'll have to talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That was Greg Bedard on his podcast. Drake May hasn't been as good the last couple of weeks.
What?
What is that all about?
I thought last week, I mean, I know he threw a pick, but I think last week is as impressive of a game as you're going to find. He got sacked 5 times by Myles Garrett, but they still put up a bunch of points. He had another one of these games where he's, you know, over the 100 quarterback rating, which we've been referencing a lot. They won, especially after that third quarter, they won the game pretty convincingly going away against overall a bad team, but one of the best defenses in the league. I don't know. I think the guy has been on fire. In fact, of this 7-game stretch where he has this record or whatever, this streak of the QB rating over 100, I would say really only the Pittsburgh game, you'd be like, really? Like,
right.
100 quarterback rating for that? Because I don't know if they even account for fumbles or whatever. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But that was one where you're like, I don't know if that was a great game. All the other ones, I think, are great games for Drake May. I don't know what he's talking about.
So I think it's very similar, and Buffalo's a better team, but Cleveland's a really good defense, and May in the first half wasn't great against Cleveland, and he wasn't great in the first half against Buffalo either. But I think part of what was awesome about the performance is he adjusted, he figured it out, they scored right before halftime, they had some momentum, they came out for the second half, and he threw 3 touchdowns in the third quarter.
He threw 3 touchdowns.
So, I mean, and
he had 75% completions. He also ran for 50 yards.
Like, to me,
every time he takes a snap, he's looking at Myles Garrett being like, this guy's going
to
kill me.
The fact he had to deal with Garrett and some adversity in there makes it more impressive, never mind who they went against. So the Browns are not a good team, but they are a good defense. Yeah. And in the second half, third quarter specifically, he didn't have any problems with it.
So he said the last couple weeks?
Yes.
So that would include the game against Tennessee where he did not have an incompletion?
I guess. Okay. He didn't like that either. Now maybe that one he just said, they're so bad, how can you even tell?
I mean.
But I would say, maybe you can't tell how good it is, but it certainly wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he thinks Atlanta is one of the potential landmine trip-up, hiccup, trap games, if you will. I don't feel that way about this week. I've seen enough out of the Falcons where, yes, when they're at their best, they can beat Buffalo just like you can. They can beat Minnesota, who's an up-and-down team themselves. That felt like a more impressive win early in the year than it turned out to be. They also got blasted by a Dolphins team, which we saw last night, get blasted by Baltimore. So I don't believe in the Falcons specifically on the road. They got shut out by Carolina earlier this year, who the Patriots dusted. So I'm not worried about this game personally, but there's not that many games left where you look at it and go, boy, this is going to be a challenge for them. Like Tampa, Buffalo, Baltimore. I mean, that's kind of it, I would think. Maybe Cincinnati could get tricky if Flacco keeps it going.
No.
I thought the Giants was going to be tricky when they had Scataboo and Dart and even Neighbors, but that's not the case anymore.
No.
So, yeah, like three more games, yeah. And I don't think Atlanta's one of those games.
I don't either. I think the thing with, you know, Atlanta or them, like, they're not going to win necessarily all the games they're favored in and lose all the games that they're dogs in, right? So it's just sort of the nature of football. Like, there's not like an over, you know, there's not this huge breakdown other than weird things happen in the NFL. Because going in, I would say, yeah, of course the Patriots are going to beat the Falcons. But also, you're like, all right, are they going to win 6 in a row? Are they going to win 7 in a row? Are they going to win 10 in a row? Like, that, all of a sudden, you're like, that's a lot.
And they might not win 7 in a row, but I could see them stubbing their toe against Tampa at Tampa where they won't be favored.
But even Tampa, I don't know if it's as good as I thought Tampa was. We both picked them to make the Super Bowl, and I'm like, yeah, they've had a lot of injuries. Now, you want to talk about a quarterback not playing as well. My guy, Baker Mayfield,
for sure.
The last 2 weeks, and we'll talk way more about him next week, but he has not looked very good the last 2 weeks. Drake May, I think, has looked great the last several weeks. So, yeah, I would expect them to beat the Falcons, especially with the game at home. They made an emphasis, and last week you saw it, to play well at home, be better at home, try to get a winning record at home, right? Because right now they got to 500. Atlanta's bad on the road. Either you're going to get Michael Penix Jr. kind of hurt, or you're going to get the corpse of Kirk Cousins.
You're getting Penix.
All right. Well,
it's not like official yet, that but gives them a better chance. What I think, yeah.
That gives them a better chance. And they've had some injuries this year. They obviously did beat the Bills. So you're like, all right, well, that's something. But then they've also had some just dump games. So I guess they're as much of a Jekyll and Hyde team as there is in the NFL. So maybe if you get your very, 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 very best performance from the Falcons, maybe. But even then, I think you would need that combination of great Falcon game, bad Pats game.
And I'm telling you, and Bijan's a threat in the run game, but
they gobble up the run.
Thank you. So, I'm sorry. I meant to say the pass game. Bijan's a threat in the run and pass game. Oh. He's not going to run on him. I don't think. No one runs on him.
He'd be the first this year.
Judkins came in red hot, and I know he got hurt last week. Judkins did nothing against him last week.
Under 2 yards a carry.
So, Bijan's not going to run on him. The Falcons aren't going to run on him.
No.
I like Drake London a lot. Number one, he's dinged up. He missed last week. I think he's going to play, but is he 100%? We'll see.
He's good, but
Number two, you have great corners.
Yeah.
And
you're the defensive player of the month in the AFC.
I'd like to see a lot of Gonzo on him in this matchup. That's not how the Patriots have played defense so far this year, so maybe Atlanta can dictate matchups. But I think their best players don't match up great against the Patriots' defense. Their defense has been really good at home this year. They've not been as good on the road. I referenced that Carolina game. So to me, I don't feel like this is a trap game. I don't feel like this is a dangerous game. I feel the exact same way I did against Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, where I'm like, yeah, I don't see how the Titans win. And the Falcons are better than that. I give them more of a chance than I did Tennessee. But I feel similar to that. New Orleans and Cleveland felt like those could be ugly, difficult, you know, tough games. That's how I felt about both of them. I thought New Orleans at the Superdome was going to be tough. I thought Cleveland, the way the first half played out last week, was exactly what I expected. The second half, the Pats blew it open. I didn't have a great feeling going into these games. This one or those games, this one feels like Tennessee to me, and they rolled into the Tennessee game.
The one thing I can't figure out is the Bills game for Atlanta. So Atlanta beat the Bills. Like, that's a good win in a league where there's not a lot of like quality wins.
They were at home, right?
Oh yeah, they were at home.
Yeah, so I'm saying they.
I mean, I guess there's that
because, going into the Dolphins game, they had been much better at home than on the road.
Well, but and the most recent thing that we saw was the blowout loss at home to the Miami Dolphins, right? And then in between that, they lost to San Francisco. So they've only scored 20 points total in the last 2 weeks, right? So this is not a great offense. 2 weeks ago, it was Penix. This week, last week, it was Cousins. So their three wins this year, their three wins are against not horrible teams. However, it was J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota, mm-hmm. who stinks.
Right.
It was Marcus Mariota in Washington. And then sort of the one outlier, Josh Allen and the Falcons, and the Bills, which, as you pointed out, was at home.
And you could say, and we get this text every day, oh, well, the Patriots have beaten nobody, too. Yeah, but they're 6-2. They beat up on bad teams. Atlanta hasn't really done that, including last week against Miami.
Oh, yeah, no, they have a good record, and they weren't in, I mean, that last week, second half, they just kind of blow doors. They've won comfortably a few times. So they both have the Bills. There's their signature win. They've both beaten the Bills. Atlanta hasn't played, or they lost to Carolina, I should say. It was a weird kind of crazy game where they actually had more yards, but Carolina beat them 30-0. So if you're doing that, like, common opponents. The Patriots torched Carolina. They got smoked.
Patriots blew out the Panthers, and the Panthers blew out the Falcons. Mm-hmm. You can't always look at matchups that way. But this Falcons team lost to the Dolphins. The Patriots have more struggles with Miami than maybe you wanted to give it credit for. If Achane doesn't step out of bounds, it could have gone differently. But I feel like this is a pretty comfortable one for the Pats. I would maybe even disrespectfully, disagree with Greg Bedard on that one.
Because the line, and I know we'll give away our picks after the keys. That's the only way to really do it. But the Patriots' last check was still, 5.5?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that.
I like it, too. I also like the comp, and Susan, if you're out there, Susan and Worcester Earmuffs.
She's not going to like this.
But Jeff Ulbrich, who's had quite a stretch in Atlanta.
Yeah.
With his kid.
His kid.
Calling draft picks. Shedeur Sanders, among others.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, it was.
That was still so insane.
But he gave a nice compliment to Drake May yesterday.
Oh, good.
This is the Falcons defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich.
It's a tremendous challenge. Being in the AFC East for 4 years, got very familiar with Drake, especially the last couple. And he's way better than I wanted him to be. He feels like a mini Josh Allen, like a younger Josh Allen in a lot of ways. His mobility, his arm strength, the way he can take a game over with both facets of the game. So he's going to be he's a problem. And then this team has a running game that they're trying to create an identity, and they're doing so. You could tell it feels a lot like the Titans teams where you were going to get 30 to 40 duos, double-doubles game, and they were going to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. Well, they're doing the same thing now with Ramondre and the stable backs that they have.
They're not going to be doing it with Ramondre this week, I don't think.
Doesn't look like it.
But some duos and doubles.
Yeah.
We should have that on our perfect Halloween night list.
Nice.
That's what we should have had.
Duos and doubles.
But
how does Missoula feel about that as it relates to the two-on-ones?
Good question.
I don't know.
So,
but yeah, Drake May, that's a great answer from a coach or a coordinator to be like, he's way better than I want him to be.
He's so much better than I want. He's a mini Josh Allen. He's like a younger Josh Allen.
See, he kind of corrected himself. Or I don't know if he corrected himself, but I think he realized that mini Josh Allen might sound like a bit of a jab or an insult, so he quickly pivoted to like, "Oh, a younger Josh Allen."
He feels like a mini Josh Allen.
That's what Haley Steinfeld said.
I mean, that he's the MVP of the league. A lot of people think he's the best player in the league, so that's not an insult at all, and he's playing great. And so he's got to try to figure out how to slow this guy down.
When he says a younger Josh Allen, does he mean he looks like Josh Allen right now? Or does he mean he looks like Josh did earlier in his career? Because he looks way better than Josh Allen did early in his career.
Yeah, I think.
And I think people misrepresent. Josh Allen was better quicker than Patriots fans remember.
Yeah, but
he looks way better at this point in year two than Josh Allen does. So I think he means he just looks like Josh Allen right now, but younger, which is an even bigger compliment.
I think that's what it is, because people have short memories, myself included, but 20 games into Josh Allen's career, there were still questions if he was going to be the long-term starter there, let alone if he was going to be an MVP. And now 20-plus games into Drake May's career, and it's like, he's in the MVP conversation already.
I mean,
Josh Allen wasn't in the MVP conversation until year three.
Correct.
Year two, he was like, all right, he's getting better, but he wasn't anything crazy.
Josh Allen was in the playoffs and losing to Houston, flipping the ball to the defense, going down to the ground. And there were questions then after his second year.
Yeah.
So if that's what he meant, I disagree. I'm with you, though. I think he just meant he looks like got all your feedback here on Halloween, Keith. Who are you again?
I'm Game Day Bill Belichick.
Because people are tuning in on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
I cut my sleeves off.
People are tuning in on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI there. They're watching along for our Halloween episode. It's like an episode of Roseanne every year, Keith. You got to see the Halloween episode.
Roseanne?
Oh, yeah. My wife
of all the Halloween
my
specials?
My wife has been ripping the old Halloween Roseanne specials.
The Office was pretty good with their Halloween
Office
specials.
The Office was good with it.
Home Improvement.
Home Improvement were good ones.
Oh, nice.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine had good Halloween episodes.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine did.
Curb's got one all-time Halloween episode.
Always Sunny has two, I think?
At least one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who Got D-Pregnant is an all-time Halloween episode.
Also, The Simpsons, Treehouse of Horror. They've
been
for years and years and years.
So, you know, not to give ourselves too many compliments, but people are talking about us, Keith, our Halloween episodes in that canon.
Yeah, yeah.
So who are you again if they're tuning in
I'm Bill Belichick.
On Twitch or YouTube? You're a specific Bill Belichick.
Oh, I'm Game Day.
Thank you.
I'm Game Day Bill Belichick. Some people are saying it's terrible. Go to Bing Images and you'll find one that looks just like me.
No.
So your criticism is wrong.
No. David.
I reject it.
David, cut to Billy for a moment if you could.
Oh, Billy's is way better.
No, no. I mean, if you want something that's like extremely accurate to life.
I'm not comparing myself to Billy. I'm comparing myself to other Bill Belichicks. Billy Lanning right now is COVID-19 season.
Yeah, who are you?
Disheveled check. Zoom press conference, Bill, when he showed up one day and we're like, Bill, we can see you. Yeah. He was wearing, it's like, not even a hoodie. It's like a regular sweatshirt that's like cut and torn. There's like holes in the top. You know, Billy 100% wins.
Oh, Billy's is great.
You are going as...
I'm Dunking's Bill Belichick.
Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, sellout Belichick.
Sellout Bill.
Yeah.
Never did ads. Now he's, you can't stop him.
Now, I did commit with shaving my face, unlike Nick back there. Nick is bearded Belichick.
Belichick.
Which I've actually never seen.
Grizzly beard. Well, wait a couple years. He's out of football. Who knows?
Good call.
He might turn into the Nick. Nick is Bill
no
from
shave
the future.
November Belichick.
Yeah, that's what it is. He's
Bill from the future. That's what he is. 2 years out of coaching Belichick is what Nick's going, guys.
And stay tuned. Keep it locked in on Twitch because I think we're going to have Jordan stop by very
shortly. We just might.
Stay tuned for that. 617-779-7937. We got all your feedback there, but it is a Top 5 Friday. Two Top 5s for you today. Coming up a little over an hour from now, Top 5 Birds. They play the Falcons. So we'll give you our Top 5 Birds. But coming up next, Top 5 Halloween Candies.
Rob Ninkovich is here. Every Wednesday, he is brought to you by Ketch's Law, your attorneys, your neighbors, and the official law firm of the New England Patriots. Learn more at ketcheslaw.com. Tough to find fault with this first place 6-2 New England Patriots team. But, Rob, you were telling me the other night that you do have a concern headed into the second half of the NFL season.
Just running the ball consistently, rushing. When you have to run the ball, 4-minute offense, if it's a nasty game, say you have a rainy, cold fall New England, which we're going to have one of those. This past weekend was beautiful, sunny, awesome. But at some point, you're going to have to run the ball with your running backs. And right now, Drake May has 250 yards rushing, and Stevenson has 279 yards rushing. So that is not great.
Right.
You don't want your quarterback to have as much as your number one running back. That just goes to show you that the quarterback, yes, he's getting out of situations and using his legs, but you're also relying on him to scramble for first downs instead of running the ball.
Do you put that more on the running backs, on the offensive coordinator, on the line? Like where
well,
do you
running
fight?
The ball is it's a group effort. So you have your offensive line. Obviously, they're executing what the play is, but your running back has to see it. We talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
The running back and everybody have to work together, and they have to see it. And also, you have to take care of the football. So do you have less confidence now that you've seen some of the fumbles like we did versus the Steelers? I know Vrabel has talked about, you know, still needing Stevenson and still having to rely on him, and he's got to stay here. And like you're going to need him. So at some point in the future, say you're in a, you know, field goal game where you have to control the time of possession, you just can't march down the field and throw and give the other team a chance to tie the game or win the game. You have to run the ball, win the time of possession, and how you do that is through the ground, the running game.
So then where do you put running backs on needs for trade deadline?
No, like, I wouldn't think it's a need that they need to go and get more running backs. I think they just need to continue to work on the running game as a whole. Keep doing all your, you know, in practice, you can't do it now, but before we used to be able to do running game, 9-on-7.
Right.
We used to just team run, right? You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It's illegal now. You can't do team run anymore. So
just work on Ramondre and Trey Dunn.
You work on the team running it, but you don't have a defense in front of you.
Even
you
can, Vrabel said
you could
it
do
too.
Team run. You could run all your run plays during team, but you just can't do the specific 9-on-7 half lines. Yeah. You can't do that now.
Even Vrabel said it because I had asked him about that on Monday. I was like, the running game looked better, and then he was like, well, minus the 50 yards of Drake May, but – kind of to go to, and I know Shime loves this world because he's an all-22 guy. You're right. It is different phases. There was a run where it got blown up in the backfield, and it was because the center, Bradbury, literally got walked back into the running back's lap. So that's on the O-line. And then there's runs where you win the line of scrimmage, and then the running back is not hitting it through the hole.
It's
so
timing, too.
Yeah, you got to know, or he's not cutting back. Backside. Yeah. So I always look at it, if there's a lot of TFLs, then that tells me maybe the O-line is getting beat at the line of scrimmage, you know, and that could be more on the offensive lineman, unless they just free gap guys running through gaps.
So you also have your scheme runs and your zone runs. So there's teams that they're specifically a zone running team,
right.
And then there's teams that are scheme and gap running teams. Yep. So they come up with specific plays against whatever defense you're facing to attack. So a zone running team, they're just everyone's flowing one way, and the running back is taught to push it to the edge and then find the hole and right. get north and south. That's defeated by a good edge guy. So you set the edge, everyone, you know, stack up the firewood. There is no cutback,
right.
and then everyone on the backside makes the play. So I would assume that this team, because they're not really built like a zone running team, they're right. a scheme running team. And I don't think Josh is a zone running guy. Sometimes maybe, yes, there's a time and a place for that. But scheme runs, you also have to have the personnel. You know, do they go get a fullback?
Right.
Probably not. You know, they're using the tight ends now kind of mm-hmm. as fullbacks.
Right.
There's not really a fullback position except for the Ravens. I think they have the only fullback in the league right now.
And it seems like the one play where they do make some yards, and I know Shime loved it, was the toss play. So now the toss is about making sure you get that edge
yeah.
and you get a guy like Travion Henderson outside to use his ability. So that's about cutting the defense in half and let's outflank everybody. So, you know, it seems like they like that run, or it's been successful, whether it's a toss or a little flip play.
Well, yeah. And Rob, last week too in the NFL across the board, there was a massive leap in like jumbo packages. Do you expect the Patriots to utilize any of those going forward?
Yeah,
at all?
I mean, you could do that. So you bring an extra offensive lineman in and you know, declare him as a tight end eligible. So you're just trying to get a little more weight on the field. And as a whole, the defenses across the board are lighter, right? So your defensive ends are a little bit lighter. Your linebackers, your inside backers are 220 to 230. They used to be 250 to 260. So you have more speed on the field defensively mm-hmm. now in the NFL, but you also have taken off a true blocking tight end. There's
right.
not really true blocking tight ends. There's not fullbacks that are just specifically there to run up and knock someone's face off. Like, it's just a completely different game. So if you bring in a heavy guy defensively, you have a package for that. So they bring in a heavy guy. Hey, right. we're bringing in our hippo unit, you know, so we're bringing in our fat guy too.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's always a chess match.
And then, you know, like, oh, that team's probably not throwing the ball out of this personnel
yeah.
group in here. And it's like, all right, basically, yep. all right, here comes the run.
Yeah.
Speaking of around the NFL, we had a lively discussion on the show yesterday about the Indianapolis Colts and their owner.
I think it's awesome.
Okay.
I think it's awesome. So in any situation, if you ask why, you should understand it. Why are we doing this? You should understand it and have more of an understanding than just someone telling you, oh, it's going to work. Don't worry about it. Oh, this guy's doing the right thing. But if you actually know what's going on and you say, all right, well, that doesn't make sense, you can ask more in-depth questions. So I think it's great that she's in there learning and trying to ask questions. And because there's also times where a coach could throw a player under the bus and be like, well, he didn't do what I told him to do. And you could say, well, that was a stupid call. Like, yeah, yeah. It was just a bad call. And when you have more of an understanding of what's going on, you have the ability to make better decisions.
Did you experience that kind of thing here when you were playing for the Patriots?
There's always going to be the ownership is always involved. They own the team. It's different when you have. I don't think I've ever seen an owner with a headset on and writing notes down. Yeah. But you know, that's kind of a first, right? So.
Yeah.
Good for her for wanting to do that.
Right.
But I think that's, if you look around the league, there's owners that are present, that are on the sideline, that are at practice, that are in the facility, in the meetings, mm-hmm. but they don't, you know, they don't have their headset on.
And I think it's a changing, too, of the ownership god a little bit, where some of the younger, and when I say younger, I mean we always think of the owner of being the 80-year-old dinosaur who's owned the team forever. But even look at, like, Woody Johnson. He gets information from his kid who plays Madden. Like, you know, I feel like there's this younger god who of like, yo, oh, my dad's a billionaire and owns a team.
Isn't that why they got rid of Aaron Rodgers? Because of his Madden score and the kid told him, get rid of him, dad.
Right.
I don't like him.
Daddy,
get him out
of
here.
Rodgers.
And hey. Greg, I understand, but I think that's kind of what ownership is like. Yeah. A lot of these older owners, their kids are more involved, and it seems like Ursay's daughter wants to be more involved.
Hey, Shad Khan is in the locker room all
gonna
the time.
Gonna go on forever.
Oh, that's
funny. Players, I would think in most cases, just kind of turn their head and mumble when something like that is going on.
I don't think so. If you saw what Gilmore said about it, like she's involved. It's not, I don't think you would turn your head and be like, why is she here? I don't think that at all. I would personally be like, all right, that's pretty cool. She's respecting what we're doing. She's trying to learn. She's trying to make us better versus, you know, you have some owners that you never see.
Right.
You know, like when I was in Miami, I don't think I ever saw the owner. Ever.
Right.
Ever.
It also seems like she's not inserting herself and she's
She's observing.
Right.
So, like, I'm more nervous for the observer than the guy that's actually, you know, involved and asking and saying stuff. The observer, you're like, okay. That's like Parcells. Parcells was a very big observer. He would just pop up and be there just watching you. And then you'd be like, oh, man.
What's he doing?
What's he doing over there?
Yeah.
Taking mental notes?
Looking at me?
Cut that guy. You know?
But I think
it was that kid from Eastie that won't stop talking.
Yeah, well, you know what? Listen, Parcells gave me my chance, so I will never knock that
but
man.
But he was known to just sneak into the room, and you'd be in there with your feet up and be like, oh. Damn it, I should have had my feet on the ground. I shouldn't have been relaxing here. I should have been more attentive. But
I like an owner who wants to see, like, or who's willing to be like, all right, we need to have a better, you know, locker room facilities, a better training staff facilities. Bring in, like, you know, what can we do? Because I feel like I would do that as an owner. What can I do to help my team be better, right? Whether it's, you know, we sit here and we talk about the grades every year for facilities, travel, this, that, and we criticize the Patriots when we see a bad grade. So if you're an owner, you want to make sure that you have good grades for all those things and your players enjoy coming to work every day.
She also might, she's probably emotionally attached to the owner, to that position. Her dad just passed away.
100%.
She wants to do well. Mm-hmm. She's also a female in that position where more eyes are on you. So she's probably deciding for herself, hey, I'm going to make sure that I do the best that I can, take advantage of the situation, make my dad proud, and make this team the best it can be and get to a Super Bowl and do something that he'd be proud of me for.
And make sure that I'm informed.
Informed.
Yeah.
And not just having the wool pulled over my eyes.
We asked Boomer this on Monday. Your top three teams in the AFC right now?
Top three teams in the AFC. So I don't love Kansas City, and I know their record isn't the best, but when I'm watching them play, they're very annoying. So they're on my three. I'm not going to give you a one, two, or three.
Because they're just going to be
there. They're just going to be there. So they could be a team that might just barely get there. But once they're in the playoffs, you're like, why did they beat us at home?
Yeah.
So they're in there. The Pats are in there. And the Bills are in there.
Oh, okay. Over the Colts.
The Colts are probably... my top, because the Colts scare me because they can run the ball. They can win the time of possession. That's what you have a problem with, and especially in a bad weather game. And I know they're a dome team, but if you have to go to Indiana, I know it's a tough place to play, and they're running the ball, you might have a limited amount of series to go score.
And they pump the crowd noise.
And they do pump. I've been the RCA dome. So I'd say that my top three, four would be the Colts. They're up there, right? Three's a tough number to try and get the top in.
Ravens getting Lamar back
tomorrow
night.
You have a mobile quarterback with something that makes him less mobile.
Right. The hamstring injury.
Okay, he's a mobile quarterback that's in the pocket. I don't think that's a great combination.
Defense stinks. I don't know. Their defense is dealing with a ton of injuries.
I mean, they're not, like I said 3 weeks ago, there's teams that we thought were going to be better than they were. There's teams that are better than we actually gave them credit for. So we have a whole NFL now where you look at the Colts, you're like, I forgot about them because I haven't really thought about them. But they're 7-1.
7-1.
They got the best record going right now. So you got to respect that. And I think that they're able to do that through physical football, running the ball. Mm. They have a great front. You know, their offensive line's really physical. So you're going to have to come into a situation. If you have to play that team, you better buckle up because you know they're going to run the football.
Mm-hmm. And they're decent. But Kansas City's defense is good, so that's why they scare me, you know, because if you can have a good defense, and we've seen it with a guy like Brady before, like if you have Mahomes and you have a good defense – that is a recipe for basically them destroying the league, because if you can't get it going on offense, you know, sooner or later, Mahomes, like I was watching the game the other night, and the touchdown he threw to Hunt in the end zone where he's running around, extends the play, and then boom, Like, that's what he's going to be able to do. And you put him with a good defense, that Kansas City always worries me.
There's teams where you count the number of series you potentially have for the game. And you know, if we don't score on three or four of these series and they kick a field goal, we lose. Right? So they're an offense where they're going to move the ball down the field. Your defense has to just not let them score touchdowns.
Right.
Drive down the field, score, kick a field goal. Do not score a touchdown. And hopefully, and that's what we did with Brady. All right, we play a good team like Denver. We play a great team like the Ravens, back when the Ravens were the Ravens. Okay, if they drive the ball to the 30 and hold them to a field goal, I'm betting that Tom is going to get us in the end zone.
Right.
So you got four or five series like that. That's what you want. We win the game. So it's more of like that bend but don't break mentality when you're playing a good offense like that.
All right, before you go, since you brought it up, do we get first contact with those from outer space?
I don't listen. Today? This is not – it's not – I don't believe in it.
You don't believe in aliens?
No.
All right.
I don't. Because, listen, the second they do get here
– how arrogant. How arrogant.
We're believe. All vaporized, by the way.
They're not coming.
They
could come in peace.
Oh, they're coming in peace?
They could.
Why not?
They're not. They're not. They're coming to take our resources. So, like, you better strap up and get ready.
Or they're going
to
teach us a thing or two. Avi Loeb seems very not too worried about them coming. Everything's going to change.
Nothing is good about a foreign person
but if there's
from
so
another.
Much more,
not even an alien.
But they might have already
good.
Been here before, Rob, and helped build the pyramids.
But if there's so much more intelligent.
How are we going to handle
this? Well, what happened back then? We don't know.
Right.
So there could have been some crazy experiments
going on. Did we land
on
the moon?
Shouldn't we have air traffic controllers now more than ever?
Yes. But stop Robin, the government shutdown.
If they're so much more intelligent than us, what can we give them that they want from us?
Good point.
Nothing.
Yeah. Right.
We won't be here. They'll just take our water or our
They want our manual
soil.
Labor.
They're so much more intelligent.
They want to enslave us.
Okay.
Probably.
What are you much more intelligent
than? Have you not seen America? No one likes to work. You really think there's going to be people out there doing manual labor for aliens?
Listen, when you see a little ant or a spider going, you're much more intelligent than that thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you just stomp on it.
So you think
don't
they
want
view
it
us as ants?
Yes. If they get here and they're that much more intelligent than us, we are little ants. We're not even comparable.
I don't think they're more intelligent than us. I don't believe they exist, but if they did.
If they came from how far away, they're more intelligent.
Or they're the Amazonian women who are coming to
take all
of you
guys. Or you go get your glass
of
water. Like, remember signs? And we just start surrounding ourselves with cups of water.
Yeah. Just build a moat.
And how did sign ends? Oh, yeah, that's right. They hit an alien over the head with a baseball bat.
No, they dumped water on it. They couldn't get fresh water on it.
Pretty good movie, though.
Hopefully they don't like oxygen, okay?
When that alien, one of the most terrifying scenes in a movie ever, when that alien clawfoot thing comes out the door while the kid is at home.
In the basement, area?
Yes.
Whoa!
Terrifying.
Oh, no.
So we should be worried about people if you throw water on them that it's going to affect them.
You don't want to be the one like, we come in peace. Have you seen, remember, what's that movie with the space? It's hilarious.
Independence Day?
No.
Baseballs?
No, it's like the guys with the glass helmets on, and it's
is that Three Games to Glory?
Marvin the Martian?
No, they're coming out of the.
Oh, he's talking about
outer space, and they're coming out, and everyone's there. It's like the president's
Mars
there.
Mars Attacks.
Yes, Mars Attacks.
And they're
Mars
like,
attacks.
We are here. Welcome.
And they start
vaporizing everybody.
Or you could watch E.T.
Oh,
E.T.? Have a completely different experience.
Yeah. Elliot.
Yes.
Elliot. All right, so we better make sure our daisies and flowers are looking good.
Yep.
So the aliens don't.
I feel like Adam Silver has already won.
Elliot.
He does look a little bit alien-like.
E.T.
He really is. All right, Rob Ninkovich. Great to see you. Thanks for being here. We will
aliens.
See.
If the aliens are coming, I'm speeding home.
Yeah.
Please don't.
I would keep it Leadfoot there. If you could keep it under
it was a stop
65
sign.
Or so,
stop
it'd be great.
Sign got me.
All right. That's Rob Ninkovich. Here is Courtney now with What is Trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. After being down 2-0 after the first, the Bruins beat the Islanders on home ice. 5-2 was the final. Korpisalo had a great game. 33 saves in the win for him. Up next, the Bees have the Sabres at home tomorrow. Tonight, the Seas have the Garden. They welcome the 3-1 Cavs to town. Jaylen Brown is the only addition to the injury report. He's listed as probable with left hamstring tightness. Some Patriots news is they have dealt Kyle Duggar to the Steelers and Keon White to the Niners. The Pats acquired a 2026 sixth-round pick from the Niners in exchange for White and a 2026 seventh-round pick from the Steelers. A check-in on the World Series. The Blue Jays tied up with the Dodgers, taking game 4, 6-2. Shohei Ohtani went 6 innings for L.A. He gave up 4 runs on 6 hits while striking out 6 in the loss. Game 5 is tonight at 8 in Los Angeles. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. The 99-cent produce sale is back at Shaw's and Star Market. Get select produce for just 99 cents by the pound or each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got your Hill Notes.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.